Okay, it's 4 minutes after, so we'll go ahead and begin. First off, we have a scribe, which is Kim. We have our agenda, which is at that link there. Our agenda right now, focus is on, we're going to do introductions and reintroductions at the beginning, status of our current action items. Then we're going to talk about the CG name and you know, the status of that poll, at least a little bit. We don't want that to go too long because we want to leave a good amount of time for our two big work items review, which is the RDF dataset canonicalization, which Dave Longley is going to be talking about, and then the privacy and security requirements for credentials ecosystem, which David Chadwick will talk about. I do have one minor item I'd like to add to the agenda at the end, which is to talk about TPAC and whether or not we want to register to meet in Burlingame separately from the Verified Claims Group or anything about our work items. I don't know what the registration requirements are and such for that. Am I missing anything? This is your opportunity to add. Okay, Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to add something. Manu's voice is kind of shot today, so I'll be trying to do whatever talking I can for him. We just wanted to talk a little bit about what's going on with the DID spec at some point in the agenda.
Sure. So maybe we should do those two. I don't think is a long discussion, is it?
Hopefully not. We'll just be talking about what the desired outcome is.
Okay, let's try to do that. Let's try to do both of those real quick after the results of the poll and stuff from the name, et cetera. Okay, nobody else is in the queue. Just double check. Okay, queue minus D. Okay, so introductions. Noah, you're new. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what brings you here and introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Noah. I'm the doing most of my work recently with Comakery. I've also been working with Harlan, in addition to Comakery work, on a decentralized reputation system for workers that uses distributed IDs and reputation data stored on IPFS. Also very interested in the evidence-based claims, and interested in kind of furthering discussion around that. Lots of other things I could say, but it's probably the higher level.
Thank you. Is there anyone else new who wishes to introduce themselves?
Hello, this is Glenn Braun. I'm new.
Welcome, Glenn. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what brings you here.
Hello. I am working with a local blockchain company called RChain, local to Seattle, and I'm helping them with their identity work. Met with Drummond Reed last week, and I've been studying Sovereign, so that's what led me to this group. And many years ago, I was following a technology called Open Badges and some similar concepts there.
Thank you. Welcome. Okay, so the other thing that we're doing is reintroductions of people. David, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and share with the newer members about your interests and background? David, it's multiple Davids. I have as David Lane.
Hi, yeah, I'm David Lane. I'm with Digital Bazaar. I'm helping out with implementations and various other specs, helping out the other Dave and Manu.
Thank you. Okay, well, we'll move on to our action items review. So the first one was getting the chair's privileges on the W3C site. That was Manu's. That's now complete. We have a poll in progress on priorities of work items. The goal is to have, hopefully by the end of next week, some results for prioritization. If you've not seen this poll, it is here. So if you've not filled out this poll, please do. It's helping inform us as to where we need to be putting our efforts. There probably will have to be a second poll after this one, after we've kind of gone through things to, so, you know, you will get an opportunity to speak more. Ideally one per organization, so, you know, Digital Bazaar and other people have multiple members here in the meeting should just do one, if you can coordinate that. The next agenda item, our next status item is naming goals, constraints, and pitfalls. This is basically, we're going to be talking about later, and I'll put the URL there, but it's in progress. We have to approve a new name and mission statement. We really want to do that by our last meeting of the month, which is June 27th. The first draft of the CG mission statement we'd like to do shortly thereafter, and we have a sort of on hold. This is actually technically a joint meeting of this and the digital verification community group, and we need to make some decisions about how they work. So that's the agenda of that's the current status of action items. Did we miss any action items that need to be on the list? Doesn't sound like it. Okay, so we'll move to the next thing, current poll results. The poll was posted by Kim. So Kim, can you share with us a little bit about, you know, how many we've received so far and where the weight appears to be so far?
Yeah, so thanks, Manu. Switching from scribing mode. we haven't gotten that many updates from last week. So we have two more votes. We have 13 total. Certainly the weight is in life cycle of verifiable claim. Verifiable claims browser, a lot of sort of things associated with verifiable claims, like verifiable claims, attribute exchange protocols. Decentralized identifiers, of course, and maybe some of the ones that don't neatly cluster into ones that are sort of, you know, interesting. Data minimalization and selective disclosure, there's a lot of interest in that. Privacy and security requirements as well. So we're going to talk more about that this meeting. Make sure get your votes in as soon as possible. I think that one of our emails had an incorrect link in it. So, if you have problems based on old emails, let us know. We're trying to make sure that we've consolidated the latest links with shortened versions so that we don't get confused.
Thank you very much. Any questions just so far on the poll results or, how things are going to proceed? Christopher, this is Drummond. How will things proceed? As in, from those results, is there? Is it just the poll results dictate prioritization, or are we going to have a conversation on the call, or see what I mean?
Yeah. So the what I would like to do next week is we'll have the two more of the sort of discussions about the work items, but then what we want to do is sort of tally not only which ones were kind of highest, but also who is up for and has the energy for actually working on those work items. I mean, there's a number of them that to work on, and we are somewhat limited by what we have people to actually focus on. So I know Manu has multiple interests in there. I have multiple interests in there, but I don't necessarily, for instance, have the ability to deliver on all of them. If we don't have the resources, even if it's high priority, we'll have to lower it. But ideally, I'd like to find something that is doable and shippable that won't take up our time for 2 years. Early on. Manu, somewhat voiceless today, but we'll talk about that more next week. So I don't want to drag into that too much. Okay, so our next item is the name and integration of digital verification. Basically, the situation is that we have an opportunity now to rename ourselves. There have been issues in the past about using the term credentials community group. On the other hand, we're going to talk about the DID spec and the TPAC right after the name, David. Thanks. So the status at this point is that we have certain number of people that obviously come from the Rebooting Web of Trust community and other places that like self-sovereign technology community group, but there have been legitimate concerns raised about that. Then makes it difficult for this community to speak to banks and other parties that might be good members of our tent. I'm kind of feeling at an impasse in the sense that I wonder if the battle has already kind of been won and we have credentials community group. Everybody seems to know what that means, sort of. But I'm also a fan of moving forward on self-sovereign technology. So. I'm opening the floor to questions or comments about this. I'm not seeing anybody in queue. Is there anybody have a strong anti or pro either? Matt, go ahead.
Oh, I was just checking to see who else was on the queue. I joined in the middle of your queries. I wasn't sure what the question was. I was waiting for the first person to speak.
Yeah. So it just has to do with, there seem to be maybe two large leading contenders for one is just to keep the name with its, history, both good and bad, of the credentials community group, and the other one is to change the name of the group to the self-sovereign technology group. Kim, you're next in the queue.
Yeah, I was wondering if you could remind me what the concern is from, say, the banks. Is it that it might imply that we are working towards a too decentralized solution? And I guess related to that, I can update our sort of naming constraints thing, because I don't think that I've factored that in yet. That's all.
Yeah, I think Manu expressed it in an email earlier, and I know his voice is out today, but oh, you want to go ahead and talk? Go ahead. Or maybe you can use
other folks in the queue. Get to the other people in the queue, and I'll follow up.
Okay. Okay, Drummond, go ahead.
Hey, sorry, I just need the time to get off the. So, if we're taking input on it, I want to speak in favor of Self-Sovereign Technology Community Group. And the reason is that I have found the industry adopting that term a lot more faster and with a deeper buy into it than I expected. And I think it's because it does speak so strongly to the paradigm shift that's involved with individuals having control of their identity and personal data. And it's come to already migrate beyond the concern about, oh, is it about a political movement? I think it really has become a technology category, and therefore it's appropriate as a name for the group.
Thank you. Matt, you're next. Matt, you may be on mute.
Sorry about that. I was. The thing that gives me a bit of a pause for a name change like this to Self-Sovereign Technologies from the Credentials Community Group or Open Credentials is it really is a change in charter that's fairly substantial. I see Self-Sovereign as being kind of an implementation approach that solves a lot of different kinds of problems that we might all care very deeply about. Whereas the credentials group kind of gave a sort of solution that is more narrowly scoped and bounded by a business problem that has maybe an intuitive application or value that people that are less involved would pick up on quickly. And I'm wondering if we should change our scope that way.
Okay, thank you. Manu, go ahead.
Right, so I was gave a presentation to around 80 to 100 bank executives last week, and I tried both out on them. I tried, credentials, I tried verifiable claims, and I tried self-sovereign identity out on them. They reacted positively to verifiable claims. They reacted positively to credentials. That was the most positive response. And they didn't really know what to do with self-sovereign technology or the word self-sovereign. Now, that said, these people are not in the same circles that many of us are in. These are bank executives that are on the boards or the CEOs of banks. So this kind of wave of use of self-sovereign hasn't hit them yet. Of the people that did know about self-sovereign, they had a completely different area that they heard about the term. It comes from some kind of Swedish a research paper that was done in the 70s that talked about self-ownership and self-reliance, and they didn't react negatively to it. So the good news is that none of the options that we're considering were reacted to in a negative way from bank executives. Personally, I don't have a strong opinion between the Credentials Community Group or a Self-Sovereign Community Group. You know, I think I agree with much of what Drummond said. This is a term that seems to be taking off. If you do a Google search for self-sovereign or sovereign identity, it is, you know, rebooting of a trust, this community, the DID spec, that are all the top hits. So, you know, that's kind of an argument for self-sovereign. I do think Matt Stone makes a good point that, you know, we're going to have to do some work on self-sovereign if we want it to kind of resonate or to make sense for people. But the mere fact that it's, you know, aligned fairly well with GDPR is a really good thing for us in Europe, that we're the top hit on Google when you search for it, is also a good sign. It's just that, you know, we with populations that don't know about the term, we're put into the position of having to educate them about the term, and that's usually a not a very good marketing place to be. You want people to hear the word and immediately jump to a conclusion that's more or less accurate. That I think is the only thing self-sovereign has kind of going against it. So again, you know, I could go with the either credential CG, self-sovereign technology, or self-sovereign CG. Both seem like fine choices to me.
Okay. So I'm next in the queue. So, you know, I'm torn here myself. On one hand, obviously, I've been pushing this, the term self-sovereign identity, and I am one of those top links. And I am concerned about, you know, I think I saw recently an IBM announcement where they said they were doing self-sovereign identity. And I'm kind of like reading through their stuff, and they have like no idea what it is. So it, you know, it's already beginning to be co-opted. So having, you know, a W3C CG that is sort of shepherding and defining is good. So I like that aspect of it. It is, you know, going to attract the implementers and things of that nature. I am concerned about a loss of the big tent of credentials. On the other hand, in the sense that, you know, everybody kind of knows it. The battles have been fought for 3-4 years now on using the term. It's, you know, all solid there. I guess one question maybe I have is, you know, both organizationally and politically, you know, is it worth maybe creating a separate CG, but in effect always having joint meetings until such a time that they don't? I mean, kind of like what we've got going for the last few weeks with digital verification, it does make it easy to find. If somebody cares about digital verification, they can find it. They can find the specs for that. If they care about self-sovereign technology, they can find it, even though all of our meetings are joint with the credentials group. I mean, that's another alternative. And really, I think Manu is, once again, somebody who could say whether or not that is unpolitical with W3C or would cause other problems as a yet another proposal. Manu?
You know, I'm just as torn as you are on this. I don't think forming another community group is the right way to go. We have too many as it is right now. We should really try to concentrate our effort into a group and get critical mass around specs, whatever it takes to get some of these specs, you know, critical mass around these specs, and creating new groups diffuses energy. It splits it. So, you know, I think I'm fairly strong minus one to splitting energy any more than we're doing right now.
Okay. I think that's reasonable. And then Adam proposed in the IRC,
self-sovereign credentials to sort of combine the two. Not really sure. So I want to close this agenda item for now. People think about it. I mean, one of my concerns also is that we need more people that are part, you know, care about this here. And so, you know, we have a variety of people who, you know, care about technology. You know, Christian Lundquist, others from the Rebuilding Web of Trust community that aren't here yet. So, so let's have a talk about self-sovereign credentials versus the old group, et cetera, next week. So we'll have that as our agenda item next week. Very briefly, we have our two short agenda items. Manu did talk a little bit about the banking thing. He has a longer email that discusses it. If you haven't received it, you might want to ask him to forward that to you. It was a very good detail of his experience talking about web payments technologies and our technologies in front of a lot of bankers. So, Manny, did you want to say a tiny bit more than what you said a few minutes ago, or just be willing to forward your email around?
I'll clean up that email and send it to the group.
That'd be great.
Some of it's not public, but I'll forward the public-facing stuff.
Thank you. Okay, and then the other real quick agenda item is on November 6th through 10th in Burlingame, California, is the big TPAC meeting, which is where everybody does the face-to-face, all the different W3C groups. Being in California makes it very convenient for a lot of the West Coasters. There is an opportunity for us to have a our own meeting during that. There's a day that communities can meet, but I think you have to register about it well in advance, et cetera. Manu did this for this community last time around, especially if we're going to be starting, you know, sharing about our new name. You know, that would be the one of the places to do that. So, Manu, do you have any comments about how difficult or should we go and, you know, talk about things at TPAC or try to reserve some space? Sorry to keep on using your voice.
All right. What I suggest that we do is create a couple of pitches. So Wednesday is plenary day at W3C. It is our opportunity to introduce new work that is experimental to the group. So there are two ways of doing that, to W3C membership. So there are 468 companies in W3C. It would be good for us to, for example, do a presentation on decentralized identifiers and do a presentation on new signature schemes and, you know, do a presentation on multiple things that this group is doing. If we had to pick, I would suggest that this group try to do those kinds of pitches for what we want to see happen at W3C rather than have a face-to-face meeting, because a lot of us are going to be there face-to-face for the Verifiable Claims work group meeting. I don't know if we're going to get a lot more people joining the community group. So I, all that to say is, you know, I don't have a strong preference other than one thing that we really need to make sure that we do is pitch the specs that we are focusing on in this group to the W3C membership on Wednesday, and that is a separate thing from the community group having a face-to-face meeting.
Great. Okay, so I think that's reasonable. For now, Kim, can you add to next week's agenda in the action items that we need to, pitch to TPAC about what we're working on?
There will be a verified claims meeting there. If you're a member of W3C, you might want to reserve that those dates. Again, that's November 6th through 10th in Burlingame. Yes, that's it. So thank you. We'll move now to our big agenda items, which are reviewing suggested work items. The first one is, David, if you can try to, you know, give an overview and in 10 minutes or so or less, so that there's time for David to do his as well, and then we'd like to be able to have a few questions and comments. Thank you.
All right. Did you want me to talk just briefly about what the desired outcome is for the DID specification as well?
Yes.
Okay. We had a brief conversation with Drummond, who's here today and an active member in our community. He's chairing a working group over at the DIF, which is the Decentralized Identity Foundation, which was started up recently. There's a link to the working groups. And a number of us noticed that there was a working group that Drummond's chairing over there that has the DID spec listed as a document. And we were wondering, you know, what's going on with that? Does that mean that the working group is taking on that spec and working on that spec? Or is it just related to, is that just a specification that's related to the work that's going on over there? So in other words, what is the work that's going on in that working group? And having talked to Drummond, it sounds like the DIF is set up to work on implementations of specifications, and which is a good thing, and we want this community to be working on specifications and sort of feeding the specifications into groups that can work on implementations of them to demonstrate interoperability and prove out the specs. And so the desirable outcome here is for this group to take on any sort of specifications, including the DID spec, that quite clearly fall into our purview. You know, this group's been working on DIDs and technology related to DIDs for quite a while, specifications related to DIDs. And so it makes a lot of sense for us to be working on that DID spec in this open community, and other communities and foundations and groups can be working on implementations of those specifications. And so that's what we'd like to see happen. And my understanding is that Drummond agrees, but I can just like to give him, you know, a couple minutes to respond and add anything to that.
Yes, there's also a meeting scheduled on Friday with the executive director. So we might be able to invite Drummond and others if there are other people who want to speak about it. Drummond, go ahead.
I didn't formally put myself on the queue, but I just wanted to say yes. I strongly agree that DIF is focused on implementations, very much like Hyperledger is focused on implementations, and that the DID spec is this the natural home for that would be this community group, provided this community group wants to take on the work. I think it's a perfect fit. I'm quite enthusiastic about bringing it here again if it's decided by this group that it would be a priority. I do strongly encourage Christopher and Manny, who are going to be talking with Daniel Buckner from the DIF group, to just reinforce that. I've been trying to take a position with DIF that it's, you know, do standards and standards organizations, do implementations and implementation organizations, and DIF should be focused on the latter.
David, thank you. David, back to you.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and move on to the presentation that I made a short little presentation to talk about RDF dataset canonicalization. I put a link into IRC. I will try not to rush too quickly through the slides, but I know we're trying to leave enough time for David Chadwick as well. So if you guys take a look at these slides, you can just kind of follow along if you want to. So this work item proposed for us to work on is called RDF dataset canonicalization. The main champions would be myself and Manu, with supporters Kim and Greg. And I'm not sure if there's anyone else interested, but those are the people that put their names down in the Google Doc. So this work item is primarily about how we express claims. And so if you go to slide two, generally when we're talking about how we express claims, claims can be naturally expressed as simple statements. And what I'm talking about here more or less has to do with what the working group is working on for just basically expressing, talking about the data format for expressing verifiable claims. So claims can be expressed as simple statements. A statement links a subject, like Jane, to an object, cats, via predicate likes. So you can say Jane likes cats or Jane eats rice. Those are simple statements that can be seen as claims about someone. A graph is a collection of one or more of these statements, and there's more than one way to express the same graph. That's both powerful and it can also have disadvantages. So if we move to slide three, you can see I've just put in here multiple ways to express the same graph. You can physically draw the graph in different ways. If you're listing out the graph as a set of statements as sentences, effectively you can reorder the sentences. And then if you're using more typical computer formats like JSON or XML, there's multiple ways to express the graph as well. And in the center of this graph, we've got a computer who's confused. And the reason for that is, if we're going to be making claims and we're going to be checking those claims, trying to verify them, we need to make sure that the same claims are being made. And that can be difficult for a computer to understand. So when an issuer makes claims and gives them to a holder, and a holder presents them, how does the issuer's software determine that the claims are the same ones that the issuer made? So one part of this has to do with cryptography. It has to do with digital signatures that can demonstrate that the claim has not changed over time, but which representation of the information was signed? And that's an important thing to figure out, because different applications may use different representations for a variety of reasons. You might want to use JSON to transport your data. You might want to use XML to transport your data. If you're going to use different representations, does that mean you have to have different signatures on it? And does that mean that you need to go back to the issuer every time you want to use a different piece of software to get a new signature? And that's a big deal. We want to avoid that. So a solution to this problem is RDF dataset canonicalization. So this is an algorithm that produces a unique representation of an RDF dataset. And so what's an RDF dataset? Well, it's just a collection of one or more graphs like we've been talking about. So you can use the output of this algorithm. If you run this algorithm on a collection of graphs, the output can be compared and hashed and digitally signed. And no matter who runs this algorithm, they will get the same output if the input is the same, regardless of how it was expressed. And so it's really important, because this algorithm works on abstract data. So you can represent the data however you want, the signature however you want. And you pull this data into a piece of software, you hand it over to the algorithm will pump out the same, if the information that went in, regardless of how it was expressed, was the same, it will pump out the same set of bytes, and you can compare those and know that you're talking about the same claim. So that's what this algorithm is for. So the status of this work is that the specification has been written. It needs a minor renaming. The current specification is called RDF dataset normalization, and canonicalization is a more accurate term. So we should probably rename it to that. The spec needs review. It needs some more images to better explain what's going on with the algorithm and kind of explain its purpose and why it's useful. And ideally, it would have a rigorous proof of correctness to demonstrate that if you put two inputs into this that have the same meaning, but they're expressed in different ways, that you will always get the same output. There are multiple interoperable implementations of this in the wild, in JavaScript, Python, PHP, Ruby. I think there might even be one in Go, maybe some other languages. The first version of this algorithm was put out in 2012. There were improvements that were made to it in 2015, and it's been in use since then, so it's got a reasonable amount of maturity. And it's in use in systems that are using verifiable claims today to digitally sign them. The last link, sorry, I've totally not been calling out which slides I'm on, but I'm now on the final slide, just has a link to the spec in its current form. So that's the work item. It's a fairly mature work item, as in there is a spec that's out there. It needs some review, needs some tweaking, and we'd like to do work on that in this group. Thanks.
Thank you. So I see in queue, go ahead.
So this is Nathan. I'm in the queue, so I'm guessing that you're referring to me.
Yes, sorry.
So this is actually one of the areas of disconnect that we have had with the verifiable claims efforts. Because in part, when you have a selective disclosure scheme like the Comanish-Lisenskaya scheme that comes from IDEMIX, or the schemes that are in UProve or some of the other credentials exchange schemes that can do selective disclosure, you actually have to have a rigorous definition of what slots are available for signing or for the kind that can be disclosed and how the disclosure is going to function. And so the role of normalization is actually filled by the signature scheme itself when you have that kind of selective disclosure signature scheme like you would use from one of those other protocols. And so the normalization from RDF ends up as redundant in that case, which is part of why we've been a little bit hesitant to jump on board fully with the RDF base, because when you have a selective disclosure scheme, those two can come into conflict, and the overlap there needs to be addressed somehow. I'm not sure how we want to pursue that going forward, but we probably ought to have discussion about how the selective disclosure scheme and the signature scheme from RDF together as part of that standardization process.
Right. Thank you. So I'm next in queue. So I have some sort of related concerns. So first off, I want to say I'm very impressed with, you know, the effort that has gone to create a canonicalization that works across formats. I think that's a very powerful requirement that has been met and has been is working in multiple implementations, et cetera. But like Nathan, have some concerns about how it connects in with a couple of different things. One, you know, at minimum I would suggest, is there any way you can get rid of the word RDF in the title? And really focus on what the real value proposition is, which is the, you know, normalization across multiple data formats is really what's valued here. You know, not talk too much about RDF in intros and title. Obviously, it's, you know, work that has been drawn from in the actual, you know, document and references. So that would be my first suggestion, and then sort of begin to maybe make it open at least to some of these other things. So, for instance, one of the potential work items from the data verification thing was the area of being able to put hashes into the, instead of having a single hash that of the entire data set. Actually hashing each of the predicates in the data set and having those predicates hashes signed or hashed a second time in kind of a hash tree type structure such that you can just provide the hash for things that are not disclosed in some fashion. There's some security issues here. It's going to be hard to do and get that security reviewed, but if we left that open or designed that in somehow or whatever, we might be able to address some problems. So those, you know, that's my sort of three areas, the naming, the, you know, the fundamental capability, and like Nathan, there's these issues of
pieces of signing smaller pieces of it or hashing smaller pieces of it. Focus on the hashing side of it. That's it for me. David, go ahead.
Right. This is all great input. And in working on this work item, we should definitely consider all of it. I just wanted to briefly respond with this one piece is just a canonicalization piece. It's not does not talk specifically about signature schemes. We have other things like linked data signatures, which effectively defines a way to combine normalization schemes with other elements to produce a full signature. This work, the RDF dataset canonicalization work, effectively produces an ordered set of statements. It gives you the statements in a canonical order. And so there's a variety of different things you can do with that, including nonce-ing and hashing each individual one and putting them in your favorite Merkle tree. There's all kinds of discussions we can have about how we can make that work with selective disclosure. This particular item is just effectively saying, if you have a graph of information, which is just a set of statements, subject, predicate, object, this algorithm can put them in a canonical order. And that alone gets a lot of trouble out of the way. You can then use that output in a variety of different ways, which is, very pertinent to any signature conversation we might have in the future. So all great input. I just wanted to point out that this is a pretty flexible what we can do with this with the output.
Thank you. So we have a long queue, but I also wanted, we're also at 10 minutes till. So Manu, Noah, Kim, anything urgent? Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and defer. We're going to close this conversation now. I think it's great work. I think we should definitely take it up with the opportunity to change names and requirements and add some things. I think it would be a great work item for us. I also would like to recruit some people from the IPFS community who are also working on a canonicalization thing, and they seem to be amenable. We just need to drag them into this working group so that their input is involved as well. So we want to move to our last agenda item, which is on the topic of privacy and security requirements. David, you have the floor.
Okay, thank you. I did actually submit an outline of what I suggested, and it is in the list of work items. So if you go to the work items list and pan down to privacy and security requirements, then you'll see the initial list I've put up there. For security, I've used the normal CIA of confidentiality, integrity, and availability, said what we need there, and then for privacy, I've also suggested some things. So I can very quickly go through them one by one, but you can also read them on the work item list. So under availability, we have the user should be able to present her credentials to any inspector at any time, and the inspector should always be able to validate them. I'm not sure that I have availability because they're pretty broad and all-encompassing. Confidentiality, the credentials are under visible to third parties, or which really means inspectors chosen by the user, and they shouldn't be visible to anybody else. Integrity, the inspector should be able to validate the integrity of all the credentials presented to it, that they are current, they're not modified, and they all belong to the holder or to the user. I think that's also important. We need to be able to prove possession that you cannot take credentials that were given or meant for somebody else and then masquerade and pretend they belong to you. And then finally, for privacy, we want minimization principle that you shouldn't have to present more credentials than are needed to get access to whatever the inspector is offering you. You should obviously consent to the release of the credentials. and you shouldn't be trackable through the use of your credentials. And I put in a caveat here, except in cases of abuse, because when the user is abusing the inspector, then I think we ought to be able to, by collaboration between the inspector and the issuer, the user should be trackable. Otherwise, if the user can simply get new credentials attached to new IDs every time and keep on abusing the inspector, and the inspector cannot actually know that this user with a different ID is the user who was abusing me last time, then I think we're opening up ourselves to allowing abuse. So that's the list that I've got. Very happy for people to start to discuss this and add to, remove from. Yeah? Any questions?
Thank you. So, yeah, I was going to ask, where the lines are drawn between privacy requirements and for the Verified Claims Working Group versus, the potentially the self-sovereign technology group. I think they're similar, but there may be some differences. I think that's, one of the open questions, and maybe one of the chairs of the Verifiable Claims Working Group. I kind of see, I'm interested in the diff of the difference between what is security and privacy requirements for the, for the larger ecosystem, which includes self-sovereign identity, versus those that are required for verifiable claims. Anybody have thoughts? I don't see anybody in the queue. Or actually, Dan is in the queue.
So a number of the things that you covered, David, probably belong in the Verifiable Claims Working Group. I think that the difference, to answer Christopher's question, is that the self-sovereign technologies requirements are a little more strict when it comes to people owning their own data. So there are a subset of verifiable claims that are, for example, corporate-owned claims that are not allowed to leave the firewall of the corporation and do not follow a number of the self-sovereign principles. And they're completely valid use cases for those things. So for example, credentials that they would use in the Department of Defense, any other military in any other nation, right? They have very strong controls over those sorts of credentials. So I think that's kind of where the line might be. I think that the way we approach this, an interesting way to approach this might be to state a principle and then see whether or not it belongs in the Verifiable Claims Working Group, the VC data model spec, because we have a section on privacy and security there. It's fairly expansive. I think with every one of these kind of requirements that you identify, David, it would be good to have the discussion on what the weaker form of that is, so that we can make sure it also makes it into the verifiable claims data model spec, and what the stronger sovereign requirement is. And that's a good argument for that kind of requirement remaining in this community group. I think what you've developed so far is great, and I'm looking forward to seeing more of that in the future.
Yeah, I see a fundamental conflict there between the two concepts. If it's a self-sovereign credential and it's under my control and I consent to its release, but then you have the concept of a sort of high security credential used by Secret Service or something, and that shouldn't be released to anyone outside of the organization or whatever. we could still say that an organization that trusts its employees and empowers its employees would actually say to its employees, you know that you shouldn't release these or display these to somebody else. I mean, we have that now with the Official Secrets Act. If you've got clearance and you see confidential documents, you know you're not supposed to release them or take them out of the building or whatever. But occasionally people do send them to WikiLeaks. Now, we could use the same sort of approach with verifiable claims to say, you know you're not supposed to release them, and if you do, you're likely to be prosecuted, or you will be prosecuted and put in prison for a long time, you know, like Bradley Manning. But once you've got them, if you decided you wanted to go against the authority of your employer, there's nothing in the technology that would stop it.
Right. So, David, I think
you have the rule of law to actually to stop it.
So, David, I think you have are you a member of the Verified Claims Working Group?
I've applied to W3C to be an expert because my university will not pay the membership fees. And I'm still waiting for the outcome of the I was told that.
So,
I asked Manu or somebody. They said it depended on the W3C member, who's in charge of the group, reviewing applications and authorizing it.
So we'll see if we can't it's up to the chairs of the working group, but I think it seems reasonable to have you added as an invited expert, but that's their decision and their process and everything. I suspect it's probably already in progress. But I think what I'd like to see is for our group that if you can be a little bit more clear that, yes, there's going to be some stuff in that working group, but that your work item can focus on the differences, because I think that's very important. There is a larger set of differences between the two, and if we focus on the differences in this group, I think that would be a really good work item.
The side of this is I've looked at the new EC GDPR rules, which are general data protection.
Right.
And that's going to become law throughout the EC very shortly. And I've looked at how verifiable claims are actually fantastic for helping companies comply with GDPR.
Yeah,
so there's a really
agreed.
Strong case for having verifiable claims.
So we need to come to a close of the meeting. I apologize for cutting short. Just trying to keep everybody's art. Many of us have been on for 2 hours now. So it sounds this. I think this is a great work item. I think the poll is showing a lot of positive aspects on it, and there are a variety of people in addition to yourself who want to continue to work on it. So thank you very much.
Okay, before
we go for next week, Kim, do you have an idea of who you would like to see present a work item next week? Is there anybody online now that has not presented their work item who would like to talk about it? Maybe Noah, do you want to talk about it?
So
That's okay. I can just,
Sorry, I jumped on.
For next week.
Someone already signed up, Jan. I don't remember his last name.
That's for 2 weeks.
But...
Yeah, Jan Komenich, not next week, but the week following.
Okay.
And that's on selective disclosure.
I have to gather my
Yes, it's Jan Komenich.
Okay, thanks. I'll follow up with the alias email group.
Yeah, so to be clear on that one, I invited Jan and Maria and other people that are involved in selective disclosure on the 27th to talk about cryptographic selective disclosure, present some of their technologies, et cetera, for 2 weeks from today. But I'm hoping that by that time we'll have gone through a few more work items before then. If you're interested in talking a little bit more about your work item that you're championing,
please contact Kim, and she's leading next week's meeting. We basically are alternating every other meeting. And we look forward to talking more about each of these items. And then please work on the polls. Those of you who have work items, if you've got more information about them or more details or links, please put them in the work items document. And finally, also, when we send out the invitation for next week's meeting, the agenda, if there are other people that you know should be involved, please personally forward the invitation to them. Make sure you change the subject. My experience is that a lot of people who get W3C mailing lists get thrown into filters, or they're being head filtered and they're just not seeing it. But if they receive a personal request that says, you know, hey, would you talk, you know, would you, you know, come to this meeting? I think it would be useful for you. Those are more likely to be read and responded to. So we're trying to format our agendas, emails, to make it easy for you to forward and get people to come to these meetings. So if you would forward the next one around to those and encourage people to come on in, I'd appreciate it. So that's it for today. Thank you very much, and thank you for a 2-hour and 5-minute discussion on these topics.
Okay, goodbye.
Thank you. Bye.
Ciao.